You are listening to Haunted Meat, the health, fitness, wellness podcast for strange and unusual people. I'm your host, Melanie Black. Today, I will be talking with my husband, Ash, about body positivity, body neutrality, and body empowerment. All right, I'm your host, Melanie Black, kicking off a new segment I'm going to call Smart Ash.
Oh, great.
Here with my husband, Ash.
Hi.
Hi. What are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today?
Yeah, what are we talking about today?
We're going to rustle some jimmies today, I think. Yeah.
Rustle some jimmies.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the dark side of body positivity.
Dark side of body positivity.
And something cooler.
Okay. Well, what is body positivity, first off?
So, body positivity is, at face value, it's a good thing. It is the idea, and there's a whole movement behind this idea, that loving yourself where you are, where your body is right now, is the most important part of health.
Okay.
There's more to it than that. I'm not an adherent of the body positivity movement, so I just see it from the outside looking in, so to speak.
So you're not positive about your body?
Oh, I'm very positive about my body.
Okay.
Yeah. But as you'll see as we chit-chat, I'm not positive that it should stay in this state forever.
Okay. Well, I too am familiar peripherally with the body positive movement.
Probably more than I am.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I've got a lot of friends who are really into it, and I know that it's helped a lot of people, at least in my circles, get over the shame that they have felt like they needed to carry about their body. They have, a lot of these people, and I'll say especially women, but, you know, I mean, everybody. I think guys...
There's a fair amount of men in the body positivity
movement. You know, I think guys feel that same pressure from society. It's just they're not allowed to talk about it, and that makes it almost worse in a lot of ways, in my opinion. But, you know, where you do feel like most people are expressing something about it, it's coming from women saying they have felt this shame around what their bodies should look like, and if they are overweight, if they are, if they don't fit the mold, then they feel like they ought to be ashamed, and that they've been fed this message their entire lives. And then along comes the body positivity movement and says, you know what? You don't have to be ashamed. You're sexy and perfect just like you are right now today. You're beautiful. You don't have to do a damn thing different. And that's really like a major sigh of relief for a lot of people, like a deep breath of like, oh, I don't have to fucking hate myself anymore.
Yeah. And I think that as far as that's concerned, that's a good thing. And I know you and I were talking about this earlier, that the body positivity movement is a necessary change that had to happen in
culture,
in our cultural consciousness, so to speak. So there are good things that have come of it, and it has changed the conversation in important ways. But I don't think it's the end of the conversation.
Okay. So, what is the next part of the conversation then?
The next part of the conversation seems to be developing as the body neutrality movement. And that seems to be another step in the right direction. But where the body neutrality movement seems to be staking their claim is in this idea that we should take the body out of the discussion entirely and not put any value on size, shape, number on the scale, or anything. Take all of that, take what we look like, completely out of the mix, and focus more on what the body can do. And I think that that's another important step in the right direction, but it's also not a full step.
Right. Yeah. And if there, so I know much less about the body neutrality movement. If, number one, if we are ignoring aesthetics altogether, that kind of goes against how humans operate. You know, sighted humans will always look at things and have some kind of aesthetic sense of beauty or what repulses them and all that kind of stuff. And if we're focusing then simply on function over form, then we start teasing out the area of potentially ableism, which is something that the body positivity movement, I think, did very well, was kind of, you know, take into consideration that people, regardless of their ability, should be able to accept themselves for where they're at. So I don't, again, I don't know as much about the body neutrality movement, but I appreciate that the conversation's continuing. But what I want to know is where you feel all this misses the mark.
So there's a number of places that I feel like it misses the mark. And I guess the question is where to start. And since all of this starts with aesthetics and how we look, let's start picking it apart there. I feel like how someone looks isn't necessarily the most important thing to focus on in fitness, but that for some people it can be a very important and perhaps the most important part of their fitness journey. And that pursuing that goal can unlock other things that are transformational.
Yeah, like how many times have somebody come to us to said, oh, I just want to lose 20 pounds. That's it. End of story. I want to lose 20 pounds. That's all I want. And then on the way to losing that 20 pounds, they increase their ability to lift heavier weight and feel empowered by that and realize, oh, hey, my body's good for something besides just looking a certain way. And that 20 pounds, even though I've achieved that, is no longer the most important thing to me.
Right.
So it's a doorway into that physical journey.
Right. And I think it's very important if you're going to look at fitness from a holistic standpoint that you have to accept the fact that everyone's going to enter that journey through a different door and that all of those doors are valid in their own way.
Yeah. Hello, meaty people. I am going to drop in some context into the conversation you are listening to between Ash and myself. Ash and I have been married for 15 years. We got into health and fitness together about 10 years ago, and both of us have struggled with obesity and health issues. And if you look at us right now today, we are pretty average looking folks. So as you are listening to this conversation, just to give you a little context, we've worked with thousands of people on their health and fitness goals. We are ourselves pretty average looking people who have a real desire to see people feel confident and empowered within their bodies. So that being said, I'm going to drop you back into a conversation about body positivity, body neutrality, and body empowerment. One of the things that's been really striking to me over the years of doing consultations for fitness with people is the vast number of people who really hesitate to fully disclose to me what they would like to accomplish. They have this shame built up around it. And this, I've always found this kind of curious. I'll ask them, okay, what would you like to accomplish? And they will tell me easily, they will tell me things like, oh, I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. I want to run a marathon. I want to do X, Y, and Z. Fabulous. And then they'll also sheepishly kind of say, and yeah, I'd like to lose 20 pounds, or I'd like to gain some lean muscle, or I'd like to do some toning. And you can tell by the conversation, the way people frame things, that it's not that they're ashamed of their body currently so much as they're ashamed of wanting something different for themselves. They're ashamed of having aesthetic goals for themselves. And to that end, I gotta say, you know, your vanity is valid. You are allowed to have aesthetic goals. You are allowed to want your body to look and feel a certain way according to, you know, how you feel internally. And if that means, you know, getting slimmer, if that means gaining weight for you, if that means getting stronger or buffed out or whatever it is, that's a very personal decision. It's not really up to anyone else what that looks like for you. And that's one of the areas where I feel like the body positivity movement might be a little bit damaging, is because it's kind of telling people you should accept yourself where you're at, full stop, and don't want anything different for yourself. You should be ashamed to want more for yourself, seems to be the unspoken part of that conversation that people are picking up on, whether or not that's really the message that body positivity movement is trying to go for. And it might not be, but I feel like that is where people are filling in the blank for themselves, saying that I shouldn't want more.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. I think that's the dark side of the conversation that, like you said, hasn't been actually had. And so people are left to fill in the blank there. And I think that lacking any further direction through that conversation, you tend to set people up for long-term failure with their fitness goals. And so as an example of that, let's say I'm an obese person, and I've been told that I have to love myself where I'm at, big is beautiful. I've been programming myself maybe for years now with these mantras, okay? But then I also have a health scare, and I know that I need to lower my blood pressure, lower my cholesterol, or there's going to be some health catastrophe that I'm facing. So I've been telling myself this story for years that this body in which I currently reside is beautiful. It is exactly what I am and should be. And now I'm pursuing some other fitness goal. Now, in the pursuit of that fitness goal, my body is going to change one way or another. I can direct that change, or I can just let whatever change is going to happen as a result of my training happen. But either way, there's going to be some change. And if I'm not prepared for that, then I'm going to look in the mirror one day and maybe I will have lost 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds, whatever. And the body that I've identified having love for will not be there anymore. And if I'm not prepared for that, then my mind will say, let's get back to that place of self-love, which can then get people on a path to undoing the other health benefits that they've achieved so far.
It's
like a weird bouncing yo-yo effect kind of thing.
Yeah, preparing for that change can be scary. And I've seen this firsthand, not only myself, because obviously your face changes quite a bit when you lose fat, but I've had one client sticks out in my mind. She's a fabulous person, really kind of dramatic personality to begin with. And she was making fantastic progress. Again, she had a health scare. Doctor told her, you know, you gotta do something about this. And she was very much, you know, loving herself as a big woman, and then started in on this journey. And about 20 pounds down, making good, healthy progress, you know, like pound and a half per week. About 20 weeks in, she came to me and says, Melanie, I can't do this anymore. I'm melting. Look at my face. I look terrible. I look old. I can't do this anymore. I'm gaining the weight back on. And wait, what? You're gaining the weight back on? You know, isn't that going to put your health at risk again? And she says, I don't care. I can't deal with the way I look like this. So yeah, it's an interesting conundrum.
Yeah. And then there's also some other social pressure that you face from your friends, where if you start making some changes and your body changes accordingly, And your whole circle of friends has been the same people who have been reinforcing these body positive messages. They're also telling themselves that same story. And then your body starts changing. It's very common for friends to start doing subtle things to sabotage you, to call your integrity into question, which is going to further burden you along your journey. And you're also serving as a mirror to things that are making them uncomfortable about themselves that they haven't addressed, which can kind of make them antagonistic even more so. So you've got this self-image staring back at you in the mirror that is not congruent with the identity you've programmed yourself to love over the past couple of years. And then you've got your social circle that was supportive of one body type that you've possessed, or one path that you've been on, and now you're on a different one, and that social circle is no longer, they're not even unsupportive. They're no longer, they become actively antagonistic against
right.
you, if you know what I mean.
I do, yeah, and it's not that they don't like you or love you or any of that stuff, it's their own personal struggles that they're dealing with. And yeah, it's a complex problem. It's a multi-layered, complex problem that has deep roots in our social interactions and in our culture. This is a really multi-layered problem. You've got the social dynamics, you've got dynamics with your health professionals. There's a lot of pushback against doctors for basically giving you the bad news of when your state of your body is threatening your health. And there's a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of problems with the whole thing. And just having that message of love your body right now, full stop. That full stop part is the part that I have the problem with. Love your body right now and is the message that I wish people were hearing. Because it is definitely a journey. It's not like your body gets to stay the same, nor should it. A lot of cases, we don't want the body to stay exactly the same.
Right, yeah, I agree with that. And the truth is that as long as you're alive, your body will either be progressing towards a state of better health or a state of poorer health. We don't actually do that great of a job as human beings of being in the middle there.
Right. We don't just stay the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constantly.
It's not really
changing.
Part of our physiology.
Yeah. All right, Ash. So let's save the world. What are we going to do to help people when they're ready for that next step? When they've done the important work of saying, I love myself right now today, and I am ready to move forward, and my vanity is valid, and I've got these goals, whether they be aesthetic or physical. What do we do next? How do you move forward from that?
So if body positivity was the first step, that's that acceptance, and then body neutrality is the next step in the conversation after that, where we're saying, okay, we're going to focus on performance, which can be very, very empowering, like you said. Then the next step is to integrate those two in a very active way. So I feel like body positivity is kind of a passive involvement with your body, and body neutrality is kind of denying aspects of your embodiment. But if we focus on directing our physical growth, then that can be very transformational and very empowering. So if we detach judgment from what we want the physical outcome to be, and we focus on the habits that will get us there, and we recognize that whatever our deep goal is right now, that it's valid, and that it may change in the future to an equally valid goal, then we can set up the habits that will keep us moving forward and keep us becoming more empowered, more dynamic, more capable human beings over time.
All right, y'all. Haunt that meat like you meet it. Get out there and get your body empowerment going.